Good, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Have you oriented yourself to Florida?
We are in Florida. We're settled in and enjoying it. Perfect day today. I've already been up on the bike. And it's a little humid, but it's about 70, 75. Gorgeous.
Good. Yeah, all my friends in Florida, the cycle say, well, you guys don't have hills, you have the wind. So that's your resistance training.
No, that's right. We have no hills, but we did have wind this morning. And it was pretty good. A little more than I thought it was going to be. And everybody was a little bit feisty this morning.
Maybe we're all a little feisty this
morning, too. Good. That's good. Well, this is our first session in our new year. So I wanted to see where your heads were and what you... And I have ideas, of course, but before I get into my ideas on the direction we should take, I need to find out from you what you'd like to accomplish in this new year.
So, Rob, let me start and tell you that I think that the thing that, as we got into late into this year, that I felt like was the key element that you brought to the table was a level of accountability, a level of candor, and a higher level of expectation, which are things that I think I need, certainly myself. I haven't talked to the team about this, so I won't speak for them about how they feel about those talents on my part, but you know, talking to us about the fact that, hey, you guys, you know, it's funny, we had a call several months ago, and when we got off of it, I was not totally thrilled with the tone of the call, and Sean wasn't either. So Sean and I sat down, and I said, yeah, you know, Rob said repeatedly, well, when Rob's not around, if there was a guy, I think I'm retired. And Sean said, what are you talking about? He constantly said, Sean, get off your ass, why aren't you doing this? But you know, it's funny, we both looked at it from a completely different level, but the fact that we took those messages away said to me that we both were not feeling completely great about how we were executing and performing, so we were sensitive to that, so we both kind of heard and took what we wanted to take. And you don't get that kind of candid feedback here. You know, Sean also talked about the fact that one of the things that drove us to leave Bank of America was we were, you know, not just the 800-pound gorilla, we were the 1,600-pound gorilla. I think when we left there, we were 50 or 60% short of the region's revenues. There was nobody who was even close to doing the kind of business we did. So there was nobody there to really push us, challenge us, inspire us, push us kind of to that next level. And, you know, we don't get that here as much anymore now that we've, you know, become the largest producers by a pretty fair margin in the decade that we've been here. But one of the things that I think about as Sean and I talk about it is, you know, sometimes you say, oh, well, we need to be a Goldman or here or there or something like that. But the reality is where we want to go, it's always going to be us that's going to have to challenge ourselves. Nobody is going to really push us and challenge us and drive us to those levels. And so I think, you know, that is what I saw as I think about moving into 2019. You know, what I want to see is I want to see the return to focus on growth. You know, we, during the growth award, we grew 15% a year 4 years in a row. Some years we grew closer to 20%, and even on some of those 15% years, we were holding back a bit. So we had, you know, growth to move into the next period. And then when I talk to guys like Richard Wildman, you know, he tells me that his best teams grow, you know, his average team grows at like 18% a year, his best teams grow at 30. And, you know, Sean is always very skeptical of those numbers because, you know, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. But kind of what I'm thinking is that if we're going to see ourselves as kind of a $4 million team this year is where we're going to finish, I'd really like to see us, you know, set a minimum growth goal of 20% for next year. And again, I haven't talked to anybody about that, and I didn't want to talk to anybody because I wanted to have this candid conversation spontaneously with us just getting kind of our honest, raw reactions to it. And as I sit and look at the numbers, I think for me to walk out of here on 12/31/19 and feel like I did a really good job as the leader and accomplished what it is I really thought we were capable of accomplishing, I'd like to see a score of about 25%. And I know that a massive huge time is that number, but that's just the number that I thought about for myself. And the other goal that I have is that we are, 95% compliant with 12.4.2. And we have zero unwanted attrition. And the reason I call it unwanted attrition is we've got some folks we just need to get out of the book. They don't make the grade. They're not ever going to make the grade, so on and so forth. But the thing that I then said is back to is I said, okay, now what I have to do is I have to reverse engineer that 20% number and say to myself, what are the behaviors that I have to exhibit as a leader to make that 20% possible? And so what I think it is I think it is deep and meaningful relationship deepening with the top 40 clients. I think I have to do the same thing with the COIs of the top 20 clients. I think I have to add about 150 prospects to the pipeline. And I think that's going to look a little bit like a hockey stick. So kind of the things I'm thinking is, well, is it in January and February and March, I add about 10. So that would give me about 30, leaving me needing about 120. Then I think in Q2, I ought to be able to do 15, which then gives me 45, which I'm at 75 now, which means that I need about another 50 or so, 75. Yeah, I need about another 50 or so. And so I think that if I stayed at like that 15, I guess that's the way I did it. At one point, I think one of the quarters, I went to 20 prospects. But I must have done it. I must have realized that was getting too much. But so if I did 45 for three quarters, 15, 35, yeah, that works about right. And then 30 in that first quarter, that's about 165 prospects. And those are prospects that, what I'm going to say, that they are our ideal clients. And ideal clients, I'm defining as 3.5 million. There's 15 million, but then I've also worked on a scoring sheet that talks about compatibility with us, willingness to take advice, work on a discretionary basis, go to the model, be to the model within a certain period of time. So those are the things that, as I look at it, that in terms of the growth part of it, that I would want to do. And then the other thing I want to do is I want to challenge everybody on the team to have an educational plan for 2019, how do they grow. And also to have kind of what I would call a professional path outlined that says where do you want to be in the team in 3 years and 5 years and 10 years, and how do we measure growth on that path in 2019, and how do we help them make progress?
Okay, question. You have 10 prospects in January. How many do you need to close?
The way I work through the math as well is the following. I said if I can get by the 150 prospects, I suspect that we can get meetings with about 40% of those people, which would give us 60 meetings. I think that if we get 60 meetings and we can go through the entire, what I would call process, the discovery, all of those things with all of those clients all the way through, I think that we can probably get about 75% of those people to go through the discovery process with us the whole way. So if we were able to do that, we'd have about 45 of those. And I think I think conservatively our close ratio probably should be somewhere around 30%. Our close ratio right now is over the moon. It's insane. But I think that could be, I don't think we're talking to enough people, very frankly. So my thought is that if we close 30% of those people, that we're going to bring on about 15 new clients. If I just said on average, I'd like to see those clients at about $7 million. That was sort of at about $100 million in new AUM or, you know, at least being in front of that much AUM.
Uh-huh. So the way you're defining a prospect is you haven't met with them. So have they been referred to you? Or how did
I think they've got to be self-sourced in three ways. I think one is, you know, what I'm going to call looking at the niche markets. And Sean and I, we've talked about this quite a few times, but this is primarily business owners. And I don't know how far in the weeds I have to get in terms of defining the niche markets for those business owners, but I think that's an area where we really excel and do well. And I'd be interested, you know, if I talk to Richard Wildman, he says, you got to say that you're going to deal with left-handed plumbers who went to an Irish Catholic boarding school. And he gets really very narrowly defined on those niche markets. But by and large, I think if we just went out and met business owners, I think we could get a lot of traction there. I think other markets that we should look at is lawyers, the top 100 firms. So if I think about it, we've got partners who I think we've done a really good job for at Skadden Arps. We've got partners that we've done a really great job for at Hogan, which is the largest law firm in the world. Skadden's probably the most profitable, prosperous law firm in the world. We've got clients at Arnold & Porter, which is a big national firm as well that we've done some work with. And then we've also got partners that we work with who are what I would call kind of gray meaning fading partners. But that is at help me with the name of Stepco. At Stepco Johnson. And, you know, Stepco, one of our biggest clients, got referred to us after he had his lawyer vet a couple guys, and the lawyer sent him our way. So, you know, we need to go exploit that. So I think lawyers are a big thing for us. The other thing that I've been thinking about, you know, we run the portfolio for the American College of Gastroenterologists. I don't know how much money gastroenterologists make these days. I don't know if some of the guys who've been around or own some of the, a piece of some of the surgery centers and that. But I would think some of those guys should kind of meet that $3.5 million wheelhouse. Maybe I'm wrong there. I know doctors by and large are not great targets for us anymore. But, you know, we just have such a natural lean-in to those guys and what it is that they do. But I think that that's an area that we should look at as well. So niche markets, I think that's one of the things we do. I think it's the COI. I went back and watched the videos and reread the parts of the book on COI development. I think I've got a really good idea and strategy on how to do that. I'm putting together right now kind of my Q1, my monthly activities that I've got to create to make that done. So I think COIs are going to break into external and internal. And I think the biggest emphasis is on the internal. I mean, I think the externals, you know, may or may not yield anything, but what I really want from the internal people these days is to just execute brilliantly with our clients so they'll continue to do, you know, more and more business with us. The, you know, other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to our clients. I'm going to be real candid with them about how we want to grow the business, what we're looking to do, how we're looking to do it, the fact that I'm trying to create a multi-generational practice that'll be around to take care of them and the people they care about for into the, you know, indefinite future. And I think that people help support what they co-create. So if I can have these people start to kind of feel a level of co-creation things in here, I think that, you know, we could get some lift there. I'm always reluctant to just ask for referrals. I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's just a cowardliness on my part or a misperception you should get me past that. But I'm looking at the clients that we have and thinking, you know, what do they do? Who are they? What could they help us do? And I think that there's, you know, an extraordinary amount of lift that's available there. So those are really the ways that I plan to try to get the clients. And so, you know, it's kind of the functionality of the old-fashioned cold call that you and I grew up with, which everybody says doesn't work, but it does work. It just sucks, it's hard, and it's whatever. So consultants have made a living out saying, oh, that's dead. You don't have to do it anymore because that's what people want to buy. So, you know, like the worst part of this is just show them what they need and give them what they want. Then I think it is also the networking and I think it is looking at niche markets. I'd like to, at some point, think about how do we do a little bit of kind of what I would call more mass marketing, and maybe that doing some seminars and things like that. But I don't think that I'm ready to do that yet. I think the firm, you know, there has to be some challenge getting that stuff approved with the firm. The other thing is I want to stay away from things that aren't really simple to execute, because what I'll fall into is endlessly planning and not wanting to do anything until I have built the perfect track. And I think mass marketing that just opens way too many Pandora boxes to fall into that endless loop of unproductive activity.
Good. Sean, your comments.
I was going to ask a different question, Rob, just as we're talking here. He says the team that we're entering into the new year. I wanted to pose a question to you and ask, what have other teams who have been dedicated to the Supernova process for, you know, more than 2 to 3 years, what have they taken advantage of to take the next steps for their practices to the next level? Folks who have been dedicated to this process, again, for multiple years.
The ones that seem to get the most traction and consistently grow are the ones that, I'm just thinking of two teams off the top of my head that are in my book, that consistently ask for and get referrals, and they've institutionalized the process. Three teams. And they've been, it's like, they consider it sort of pathetic that other people don't do what they do. I mean, they just sort of, you know how you feel reluctant to ask? They think it's insane not to ask. So they're consistently growing by utilizing their existing clients. Who better knows you than your existing clients? Who's better at giving testimonials for you than your existing clients? Who's better at knowing what you really want than your existing client? So when you said that, I said great, because look, the reality is with the base that you have more work than you could ever follow up on if you do it right. And all they do is just follow the, it's either... Some have abbreviated the Bill Cates model. Some have formalized it even more than Bill uses. In fact, one of them is in Bill's second book, his newest book.
Bill Cates.
Gotcha. So Bill has got, I use his book, Get More Referrals Now, because it really goes through the process of VIPS. But I like, his new book talks about some of the people that have actually used his methods and how they use them. So there's, just off the top of my head, there's three teams that consistently grow and use their existing clients. Other teams specialize. One of the things that I think would help you is if you specialize. Think about being able to say to clients, our sole purpose is blank. It makes you, as you become, as Richard Wildman talks about, becoming very, very narrow niche. The same thing you can do for yourself, and you think, well, if I become such a specialist, I'm going to be precluded from doing business with other people. Well, as we know from neurosurgeons that work, juvenile neurosurgeons, that work with children, I mean, that's such a niche that they kill it. Right? They're the guys that make the most money. Rather you specialize in something that other people just don't want to take the education, the time, or the effort to become, you become much more valuable. And so the idea is to becoming become more valuable to a narrow niche of people that can afford to pay you. So one team that comes to mind is a team in New York that focuses on entrepreneurs. Now, I don't think you should do that because you're in Washington. You're in a different market, and it's a different world. But the idea is that they've decided that this is, you know, they're not in Silicon Valley, but there are a lot of entrepreneurs in technology in New York City, and they focus on helping them. And they've created a mastermind group, two mastermind groups around that. They put on a CEO conference. They really focus in on doing that. Now, they're not there for, you know, somebody's grandmother. You know, they're not that team. But they are, and have they been successful? Incredibly successful. So I don't want you to do seminars, but what I wouldn't mind you doing is a CEO conference or a conference for lawyers specializing in something very niche marketish, you know, something that would be very interesting for them. So, you know, that's centers of people, you know, when I meet a team that's functioning beautifully, they take my material and they run fast with it. Okay? So, it doesn't take me long to get them organized, and what they thrive on are these ideas. What you all need to do is to realize that you get off track. And part of your business plan should be an acute awareness of the fact that you get off track, and then it triggers that will help you get back on track quickly. See, all teams get off track. The high-functioning teams get back on track very quickly. Very little brings them off track. So, I don't know exactly what it is that you need to bring you back on track, but I would make that as important as anything else you put into your business plan. Because right now, Rob, your level of enthusiasm and focus is exceptional. Okay? But, you know, last week's call was about, you know, what's wrong with the world and our firm and should we stay? You know, those are the things that get you off track and get you into conversations that, unless it's in a major emergency, you don't need to have them.
That old thing about the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah, it's really, for you, look, you know, I think it's your problem. I don't think it's Sean's problem. And I think that, you know, if there's anything that we can do to kind of keep you on that track, you know, when the Blue Angels come in to fly, they, every morning, they look each other in the eye and they say, are you ready to fly? And they say, yes. And they say, no, I mean it. Are you ready to fly? Because we're going to be, you know, 2 feet from each other's wings. You can kill me this morning. If you were up late and you're not sharp, or you had too many drinks last night, or whatever. And so that's what I think you guys need more than anything, is to look each other in the eye in the morning and say, are you ready to fly today? If you're not, go home and work out and come back when you are ready. We gotta be 100% when we're here. And that's just me having coached you guys for a year and see where, you know, where you get off track and all of a sudden, you know, we're on to another subject. We're not moving forward in the plan that you set up in the beginning. We're off in a distraction. And trust me, there, you know, look.
Rob?
Nice as Nick and do.
Hey, Rob.
Rob Reich and his
team. Rob?
Yeah.
You dropped out after you said, we're not moving forward with the plans we set up in the beginning, and then right after that, you dropped out, so we didn't hear what you said after that. Apologize.
Okay. All I'm saying is, he said, we're all subject to distractions, and I'm as bad as anybody. But we need people to keep us on track, and we need processes to get us on track. So what I'm saying is you guys need to build that into your models so that you can, you know, the bright, shiny lights don't distract you, that you're on goal, on plan every day, and that everything you're doing is committed to that. So, because I think you guys have all the talent in the world, you got all the skills. I just think you get distracted. I don't know what it is that does it, but it's something. I mean, am I off base?
No, I don't think you're off base at all.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
sometimes
I think our talent is almost a bit of a hindrance because we could be distracted and still be $4 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's like pathetic, right? I mean, just think about it. I mean, it isn't the person with the most talent that ends up, you know, in the end winning. It's the person that has the most discipline, the most set of rituals, the one that is the most focused. If the guy with the greatest talent doesn't always realize his talent. So, look, I have trouble when I work with a team that has no talent because I give them great ideas and they have no ability to execute on it. And that's sad. It's just hard on me as a coach. But when I find a team with talent, but they just get distracted, that's just as frustrating. Then occasionally I'll find a team with talent and focus, and then it's just a blast. And that's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we, you know, I can give you all the answers to what you need. You guys have got to just do it every single week. You can't take a week off. You can't say, okay. I mean, you can take a vacation. That's different. But no, you know, we used to call it the Navy retired road, retired on active duty. No retired on active duty. No, you can't take a week off in the middle of the busy season. So, look, you're very successful. I'm not throwing anything at you. I'm just saying, from my observation, you guys know. I mean, what you just laid out is great. Now let's do it, right? I mean, there's some things I want to fill in. I want to help you with, you know, I don't think you need that many prospects if you get introduced to them in person. Okay? Then your probabilities are going to increase dramatically. So I think you can have less prospects with even less minimums and reach your goals if you get better introductions. So, you know, what we talk about is improving the closure rate. And the closure rate begins with the suspect to the prospect to the introduction to the close. And so we want to make sure that every introduction isn't a name and a phone number. It's an introduction. Now, some you're not going to get, but, you know, remember, the best introduction is one that's in person. The second best is an introduction on the phone. The third is an introduction by email. And the fourth is an introduction where you get the name and the phone number. Okay? And what do we get? We get the name and the phone number. And frankly, that's oftentimes good enough, but it takes time. It can extend its time from what would have been a week or two to meet the person to 6 months before you meet them, or never meet them. And it's just because you don't keep control of the situation. So, to me, I would, based on what you said, and the number of prospects that you want to meet, my suggestion is that you focus your energy first on getting introductions from clients. I mean, if you really want to get that many, if you're just saying it, that's one thing. But if you really say, okay, no, I need 15 this week, you know, or I need 15 this month, okay? Or I need 10 this month. If you need 10 this month, you can't rely on seminars, okay? I mean, you go to the people that like you and trust you and are willing to introduce you. I always said that if somebody kidnapped your children and they said, you know, you will get your children back when you reach your, you get 10 clients this month, you know, then you get your children back. Well, you get 10 clients. You know, you just get them. You just figure it out. And that's what, it's just a desire. The desire has to be there. The desire has to be bigger than the fear. Okay, so Sean, you go ahead, talk some more.
I think this is helpful. I think that, you know, that's even a lot of comments at the beginning of how to just take a thought and idea about how to grow this business and then use concrete examples of positions that other folks have been successful in Supernova have used and implemented. So I think that's something that we can take away from.
All right, so I want to get right into the weeds and start working on the project, you know, but before we do that, you said a couple of things. I mean, to me, if you go back to the five-star model, and you use that effectively as your business plan, you will cover everything that you said you wanted to cover. So John, if you're going to do the leadership piece, then every person on the team has their personal development plan, and you meet with them every month. And you have a folder for them. Now, is anybody meeting with everybody on the team every month? Five of us. Okay. Okay. It doesn't take long. Okay? It's a scheduled meeting just like you have scheduled meetings with your clients. And everybody builds their business plan based on their personal development and their professional development, and then you meet with them, and then including Rob, and then you hold them accountable to it. And that's what the meeting's on. I love you. How'd you do? How'd you do this month? Are you moving forward? Tell me what you're doing. This is where you said you wanted to be. These are the steps you said you needed. Are we getting there? Right. So. And the leadership is also setting these concrete goals, getting them in writing, and then holding everybody accountable to these goals every week. Not every month, every week. In your Thursday afternoon or your Friday meeting. Are you doing that? No.
No.
No. Okay. So, you need to have a time. Here's what I suggest. You should have a time where you meet every day. And on Monday,
you talk about marketing. And on Friday, you talk about your five-star model and how's everybody doing in their five-star model. On Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you just talk about whatever you need to and then be done with it. Doesn't have to be a long meeting. It can be 10 minutes. The Monday meeting doesn't have to be long. It should be a stand-up meeting, quick. How are we doing on our marketing? Friday meeting doesn't have to be long. Just everybody report in. It can be a stand-up meeting. Report in. Every, you know, director of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. How are we doing?
Alright, so that'll be our weekly rhythm. And so what we've been working on is looking out at our calendars in January and thinking, how do we get all this stuff implemented? So what we should maybe do is use December as a period to try to start to flesh out the agendas, what works, what doesn't work, what are the times that work for us, when don't they work. And yeah, I think the good thing about these are, you know, the brief enough that even if we call in, it's not a big deal, you know. Yeah. I'm traveling, you're traveling, you're working from home or something, Claudia, or, you know, Michael, whatever's going on, we can just dial in. Yep. And so it sounds like, Rob, what you're saying is that these Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday calls are really, you know, hey, are there any issues, you know, day ahead, let's just all be mindful of where everybody's at, what's going on, are we ready for the meetings and things that we have in the coming days? Kind of looking at the forward calendar, are we prepared for those? Consistent with our, you know, kind of our expectations of when stuff gets done in advance of meetings and so on and so forth.
All right, guys, I got dropped for some reason. You sitting there?
I thought you were exploring some kind of psychological thing for your... You guys know?
Get a call.
I just got, very quiet, psychologically. Oh, you talk.
I thought it was time to pause to make sure. Hold on. Okay. All right, Rob, well, let's wrap up. Sean had to leave. He had to call over the client, so.
Okay. All right, so one of the other things, let me say this, too. One of the other teams that I'm working with is very proud of the fact that they're adopting the five-star model. And they, when they go to introduce a new center of influence to the team, they bring their team to the other office and they meet the, let's say, the law firm, right? So you go, let's say you want to reintroduce your team. So you go to the law firm and you meet them and they do a presentation and the presentation is, why should we do business with you, Mr. Lawyer? Why is your team unique? Why, you know, what do you specialize in? What do we know about, what should we know about you so that we can refer you better? What's your minimums? Who are your best clients? What do you want?
Right.
For introduction. And then why, basically, we want to meet everybody that's going to touch our clients. And then they have them come to your office and you stand up and present your team based on the five-star model and show them that how organized you are and how you have your act together. Here's why I highly recommend this. If you do this, you will use it. Meaning, if you have to get up and use your five-star model, then you'll actually use it on a day-to-day basis.
Yep.
If you don't, if you just, you know, think, oh, it's a good way to be organized, but we don't need that much structure,
then you're going to never use it right, and it's just going to be another wasted tool in the toolbox that could have been gold for you. All right, so my suggestion would be this week, get everybody involved in this planning process. Make sure that they write up their business plan based on their responsibilities according to the five-star model, and be ready to present yourselves to me next month. Okay? So it shouldn't be your business plan, Rob. It should be the team's business plan. You see?
Yep.
It should be a team business plan with everybody knowing exactly what it is you're going to do. And then they hold you accountable for the things that you look, a lot, the marketing, this whole growth thing is all about Rob Reich. Okay, if you don't do it, it ain't going to happen. So you need your whole team around you supporting you and keeping you on track. And then they're doing their jobs effectively and efficiently so that it relieves you of all the other stuff. Seems to me. I mean, just having known you, you know, without knowing exactly. Does that make most sense or not? Am I on track?
I think you are.
Makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. It seems to me you're the key. Sean is the key to being organized and keeping you on track. You know, the whole thing is, you know, all dependent on, frankly, keeping you on track. But we'll see. Okay, so that would be my advice, but, you know, it's not in writing, it doesn't have, it takes on twice as much power when it's in writing. Concrete with deadlines. A goal is for nothing but a win. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just kind of thinking through about how we actually do this is maybe create a folder for each team member and then put their business plans, like a 12-4-2 folder. Is that what you're referring to? And then have everybody's business plan kind of in their 12-4-2?
That's right. And there should be that business plan should be, and if Sean's going to be leading this, he should have everybody else's business plan in his folder, and they should have his business plan in their folder. So if Sean is going to meet with you regarding brand management, then he has your business plan in his folder, you have your business plan in your folder, but you also might have Sean's leadership plan in your folder, okay? Kind of holding him accountable as the leader.
Okay.
So Sean would have Rob Reich's plan on marketing in his folder, and Rob would have Sean's leadership in his folder. Kind of, so you can keep track of each other. So Sean ultimately would be the one holding everybody else accountable, but I think it's helpful if you know what Sean is supposed to be doing. Everybody should. I mean, it's a team, right? Everybody, it's a team. So everybody has to be doing their thing, and everybody has to know that everybody is doing their thing. So that's exactly right. And then monthly meeting, Sean should have a meeting individually with each other member of the team, and then every week you should have a meeting where you report how you're doing in your area to the team. We call it the game board meeting. That should be like a Friday or a Thursday afternoon, whatever works for you guys. But try and have a meeting every day to hold yourselves accountable to this plan. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
I
will. Good. Okay. Send me, you know, if it helps, I'm happy to review the plans. So write them up and send them to me, and then I will compile them and put them in your folder. And then I'll have much more to go on than I do, you know, a few comments on what our goals are for the year. That would be much, very productive for you and be very productive for me.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, let's make this go. Yeah, let's make it really go this year.
Yeah, I think we
can
make 2019 the best year we've ever had.
I do too. There's no question. It's going to be a good year. You know, you just want your share of it.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate your time. Have a good day. Listen, have a nice year. We'll talk to you in 2019.
Yeah. Okay, terrific. Congratulations. Thanks. Good year.
Bye.
Bye.